What if joy isn't a finish line, but a daily hello? What if choosing joy looks less like hustle and more like holy intention? Less outcome, more obedience. Today we're unpacking Hello Joy with author, speaker, producer, and creative force Karel Pinder, a movement inviting us to wage peace, protect purpose, and practice joy on purpose. Stay with us.
Today's episode of Vital Voices is brought to you by Oak Tree Medical Center and Wellspring Lifestyle Group.
Vital Voices.
Welcome to Vital Voices, the podcast where we amplify the stories, insights, and expertise of the people shaping the future of our communities, our conversations, and our country. I'm your host, Alexis Burrows. Thank you for joining us. Today, we're diving into Hello Joy with Karel Pinder, who, like we said in the open, is an author, storyteller, producer, playwright, creative force, I think is the most probably proper way to describe you. And visionary behind a new wave of practical, faith-rooted joy. We'll talk about choosing obedience over outcomes, the daily practices that protect joy, and why she designed Hello Joy to be more than a book, but an experience. So let's get into it. Karel Pinder, longtime friend, welcome to Vital Voices.
Thank you. Thank you. I've never heard someone describe me as a creative force. I like it, though.
Listen, it's so funny. Every time, insider baseball, Karel has been behind this initiative called Prayer Live for the past, I think, 6 years now, right?
Yeah.
And you invited our daughter Scarlett to take part in the most recent...
No, she just blew me away. But the person who recommended her, like, tried to warn me, like... They're like, no, you need her on.
she should come with a bit of a warning label. In a good way, though. But... We had the opportunity to have Scarlett come on and be a part of that. But Prayer Live, every time when my wife was talking about it, she's like, yeah, so she's all with Karel and like she's written all these plays and produced all this stage stuff and she was working on these TV stuff. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds like Karel. It's just all of these different things. And if anybody's seen or heard or seen you, your online presence, or you just around and about in the past few years, knows that you have been a creative force. You've been working in a lot of different areas, trying to move a lot of different things forward while also maintaining and managing your own spiritual journey throughout, which I think is something that you've tried to keep front and center even as you've gone through these projects. You haven't hid it away to the side as something that's like, okay, that's in this pocket in this corner over here. It's kind of been central to the conversation. And we always appreciate seeing that, you know, especially when we talk to people who have faith as a part of their story, who keep it at the center, because, you know, it's a lot of the driving force behind what you do and how you operate. So we are ecstatic to have you on the show to talk about your new project, Hello Joy. And let's get into it.
I love it.
So for listeners who may be meeting you, hearing about you for the first time, who is Karel Pinder, especially in this season that led to the creation of Hello Joy?
So I would describe myself, most important title is daughter of the King, daughter of Christ. Jesus Christ is my center. He's my everything. And in this season, I love the way you phrase that question, like, who is Karel in this season? Because in previous seasons, I would have listed, like, you know, the accomplishments, the titles, the achievements. So that's why I love that you phrased it in this season. In this season, what I want people to experience when they experience me is I want them to experience joy. I want them to experience kindness. I want them to experience gentleness, love, which are all fruit of the Spirit. And the Word of God says they will know you by your fruit. So I know that you belong to Christ because I feel your love. I feel your kindness. I feel your gentleness. And so, you know, titles and, you know, roles and different things that we play, they're a part of what you do in life. But that's a way that I stored what God is having me to do on the earth. So some of the things that God has asked and allowed me to store on the earth is I've been an entrepreneur for the last 8-9 years, and that is definitely the Lord storting me. I've tried to run to a 9-to-5 many times. I'm an entrepreneur. I've recently moved to Nassau in the last 3 years. Well, it's not as recent, but in the last 3 years, God also allowed me to store it into going into home ownership. All of that is really just God having a hand on my life. And my background, education-wise, is psychology and communication and leadership. And counseling. So there's several degrees there. And so it was so funny when some people watched their first podcast episode, they were like, it was like two therapists talking back and forth.
That's funny.
But yeah, so sometimes people, and then one of the episodes that hasn't aired yet, but the person was saying, she was like, it just was so deep. Like, I didn't expect you to, you know, do that. And like, she was like, I expected you to be deep, but she was just like, I guess it just felt so like, from the aspect of the psychological standpoint. And then I was like, well, you know, my first degree is in psychology. And she's like, I forgot that. Mm-hmm. So now, because I do a lot of marketing in my business, sometimes people forget that my background is psychology.
But that's the thing. I mean, and I tell people this all the time, psychology is, it weaves directly into marketing in a lot of ways. So yeah. It's like people with psychology, if you're not going to go the clinical psychology route, a lot of times you either go into marketing or you go into HR. That's kind of the two predominant spaces where people go if they go into a more professional, so to speak, career or that type of 9-to-5 space. But shout outs to Acadia University. That's where we first met. That is the, I was thinking about it on the way, and I'm like, you know, we've done a number of, we're approaching a year now, so we're approaching 50 episodes. And you are probably the person that I've known for the third longest out of everything they've done. One is Dawn. We went to high school together, Dawn DeVoe. The second is my wife, and then the third is you. Everybody else has been a lot more recent in life, getting to know them and getting to experience them. But you and I, like I told somebody the other day, I was like, yeah, she was international student rep year before I was. We handed over and all of that. So yeah, we go way back. But yeah, I think it's interesting to kind of hear you talk about it. And I think, you know, God does move us through seasons. And so what you look like, at your core, you're the same person, right? Like you are who God has created you to be. But at different seasons in your life, he has you presented in different ways. So there may be different parts of you that comes to the forefront and different parts that kind of slide in the background a little bit. And that's just kind of how the puzzle pieces work, right? So it's interesting to kind of hear you talk about that. But let's get into Hello Joy. What would you say was the spark for you writing the book? Was there a specific moment in time that kind of shifted your mindset? Because I know you've written plays, you've done a lot of production in that space. But what made you sit down and say, this is the book, this is the title? What was that process like? What sparked the whole Hello Joy thing?
I know. Great. I love it. So I like to have a word every year. So in 2022, my word was new. So I was like, everything's going to be new. It's going to be new. This is going to be new. I'm going to have, I'm going to live somewhere new. I'm going to have a new home. I'm going to be in a new city. I'm going to have a new boo, because I wasn't dating at all. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to get everything new, you know, and it was coming down to the end of 2022 and it didn't look like it was happening. As I said earlier, I've tried to run to 9-to-5s plenty of time on this entrepreneurial journey. And in 2022, I was trying to run to a 9-to-5. And so I had some conversations with two very promising, like promising areas to go into. And they both were in Nassau. And I had gotten a prophetic word that I would be going to Nassau. And I was like, yeah, when the job comes through. So they only coincided with this job coming through. Because money that year, you know, you're an entrepreneur. Like you said, you guys are going into a year. But there's some high years where like, oh, we going good. And then there's some like, I don't have any money. Like, this is crazy. Mm-hmm. Luckily, I lived at home at the time, but the money was really low in 2022. And so when I heard about these jobs, I was ready to jump on them because I needed it. And none of them were coming through. And I was like, well, I'm not moving if none of those come through, because logically it didn't make sense.
This and this go together and make sense. Otherwise, it doesn't make sense.
I live at home. I pay my parents $300 a month.
Like, this is doable.
My business is not doing well. Where would you even get the money? Like, this makes no sense.
Right.
And in October of that year, 2022, I had a dream, and I got the verse Genesis 12. And it said, go to a land that will show you, which is the story of Abraham. Leave your father and your mother and go to the land. I'll show you. And the Lord says, you need to leave, and you need to leave in 2 weeks. I say, I need to leave in 2 weeks. So all the, you know, the new word sounds so good because you're expecting new to look a certain way. Some, you know, I read a quote the other day where it says, we want God's will, but we don't want God's way.
Mm-hmm.
So his will was for me to move, but not
in the way that you anticipated.
Those jobs never came through.
It's so funny because it's like people say, you know, be careful what you pray to God for, right? Because you ask God for peace and then he sends you turbulent times so that you run to him for the peace, right? And so it's very much in the same vein.
Yeah, and so in that season, I had to say a lot of goodbyes. And there's this, and the song, Hello, 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 Peace, Hello, Joy, Hello, Love.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a song that was really, you know, in the forefront of my mind around that time. And so I was making a lot of moves and saying goodbye to a lot of things. So I said goodbye to my hometown. I had to move to Nassau. I was living on a couch. The Lord had asked me to leave my sorority. At the time in 2022, I had left right before the move. I didn't even realize that until later because I privately left. So I privately left with renouncing and saying the prayer and doing everything and just saying, God, I renounce. I'm moving myself out. And I cut ties in 2022. And then that was September. And then October is when he told me to move. And then so it was a lot of cutting ties. Mm. But it was God introducing me to finding joy and connection in him. So it was a lot of, so I would say a lot of around 2022. Was when I, so I didn't know I was going to write the book, but mm-hmm. I knew that God had me leaving a lot of things and embracing full throttle trust on in him.
You've called Hello Joy more than a book. It's a movement. What makes this process of, you know, launching the book, obviously you have, in a lot of people's minds, it looks like a traditional book launch coming up in November, November 15th, but you know, what does it mean to be more than a book, but a movement?
Okay. So practically and spiritually, it's more than a book. It's a movement. So practically it's more than a book because one, there's a devotional. Two, there's a podcast. Also on Thursday nights, we do a free at Cafe Amore mug and mic night where we take over their open mic night and we're just there every Thursday with the team. So it's a lot of things that are coming along with it other than you just get the book. Right. So yes, it's an event and you're at the book launch, but you could either watch a podcast. So you can experience the joy, the message that we're trying to bring in different ways. Like the core team is doing the devotional together. So we post things on social media to talk about how we're doing the devotional. There's some things we have coming up that we're going to have influencers do that's drawing people in. So there's different ways that we're tapping into the joy movement interviews, like the one we're doing here today. And then, so there's different ways that we're getting the message out there outside of you being there. And like I said, the products of the devotional and the book and the podcast and the open mic night, so on and so forth. So that's the practical way why it's like, it's more than a book launch, it's a movement. Spiritually, why it's more than a book, it's a movement, is because when you read Hello Joy, it's not to just say, oh, I read another, you know, faith-based book. That was nice to hear a story. It's literally supposed to provide the roadmap and ignite you on your journey of understanding where true joy lies. And so it's supposed to shift the trajectory of your life. Like I read this book and now I now know how to look at joy, how to experience joy, and how to have the fullness of joy every day.
Mm-hmm. That's great. That's great. Yeah, I guess, like you said, it's coming from both the practical and the spiritual standpoint. You've also shared, just kind of like tracking your rollout for the book and the book launch and all that, you've also shared something I've seen repeated in a couple of spaces, obedience over outcome. How did that principle shape the message and the structure of the book, or even just your approach to sharing it now with the world?
Yeah. So we talk about this in episode one. And if you're interested in watching the episodes, you can go to Karel Pinder on YouTube. Since you're ready, you may already be on YouTube when you're listening to this. You can go to Karel Pinder on YouTube after this episode is finished and watch The War for Your Soul. And so one of the things that why outcome over obedience was so important is because I was someone who is a person of faith, but very focused on the outcome, very focused on what I wanted at the end, very performance driven, very legalistic. Very Lord, if I do this, I am expecting this at the end. This is how I'm expecting you to do it. Even with the story that I said, when someone gave me a prophetic word in March, yeah, well, he better give me these jobs that I'm waiting on, and that's how I will. Like that, that's the end result. You want me to do something for you? Like God's like, do you? I'm God. You are.
I mean, definitely approach it like that sometimes, though.
Human. And so therefore it was almost like my obedience was because I wanted a certain outcome, mm-hmm. which is performance based. When our obedience needs to just be simply because I love you and I don't know what the outcome is going to be. It may not be what I imagined. And I remember being on a live after I moved to Nassau in 2022 and just living in some conditions that I just didn't expect. And I was just like, I'm in the answered prayer, I guess. But like, you know what I mean? Like he did say you would move, and did you not move? You did, but it looks nothing like, it's kind of like those people who talk about like they waited for marriage the whole time and they were someone who idolized marriage or put it on this pedestal. And then they got married and they're like, this isn't what I thought it was.
Right. It's interesting, you know, we often get in our minds this idea of, even as Christians, like, if, like you said, if I do this, then this is the expected outcome. And it's very interesting. It's a conversation my wife and I have been having a lot in the last year or two, because I think so many Christians often suffer from the concept of suffering and what it means in the Christian walk. And so many times they think, oh, people only suffer because they're in sin, or they only suffer because they've been disobedient, or they only suffer because, and they go down this laundry list of they did this wrong thing and therefore they are now suffering, and not realizing that suffering is a natural part of the Christian walk. It's God ordained. Like, he ordains us to walk through suffering for different things. So, and that sometimes that means even the thing that you ask for, even the thing that somebody has spoken to you or spoken over you through the Holy Spirit, is still going to be like, this is like you said, this is not what I expected. It's like, you're living in the answered prayer, but it's like, what am I looking at? What am I, like you said, you were sleeping on a couch. It's like, God, this is it?
This
the answered prayer? This is the new? I went from sleeping in a comfortable bed in my parents' home.
We lived very comfortable, because Freeport, you could get an arm and a leg for what you could get in, and that's all. Yes. So I grew up very comfortable. We lived very comfortable.
Yeah, so to go from, like, I was sleeping in my parents' home on a comfortable bed to now sleeping on someone's couch. Yeah, but then at the same time, you know, like you said, it's kind of, that was the start of the journey that led to this book. And so now you're seeing the potential of the exponential way that this book can help people, and the movement, the podcast, the devotional, all of those things. And it's like, well, now you look back at those nights of sleeping on the couch and you're like, but this was all, like, would this have come if you were still sleeping comfortably in your parents' bed? And I think that's the thing sometimes that we miss, right? Is that we don't recognize, because we want to run from the suffering so bad. It's like, but I didn't sin. I was disobedient. I listened. Why is it this? And then you realize, hold on, wait. If you actually stick it through and you learn whatever, sometimes it is a lesson. Sometimes, don't get me wrong, sometimes suffering does come from disobedience, right? But sometimes it's just, this is a part of the process that God is, we hear refining fire, and that we don't conceptualize. It's like, no, you're sitting in a furnace and everything is being burnt away. That is a horrifying process if you think about what it sounds like in the natural, but it's like, that's what it's like. So it's funny, because that I think we do a lot of times suffer with that concept of what we do with suffering and what the process looks like, because we just want the mansion on the hill, you know, with the three kids and the dog and a nice car. Like, that's what we look for. Whatever we have as the outcome in any given situation, it may be the CEO position, it may be the $1 million business that's your own thing, it may be all of that, and it's just like, yeah, but there's a path to get there. You don't go from, sometimes you do, but oftentimes there's a pathway from A to B, and, well, because it's A to Z, and there's a whole lot of ups and downs along that road, and twists and turns and the like. I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI at Top of the Hill Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram movement continues. Call us today at 24232-21145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring. Compassionate. Complete.
Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, Top of the Hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring, compassionate, complete.
Discover the ultimate in personalized health care with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 242-8164-OPP, 4667, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus, where your health comes first.
Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation. You know, walk us through the book's architecture. So we're doing this. I've not seen the book itself. So we're trying to avoid spoilers, obviously. But kind of walk us through what people can expect when they go through the book in terms of themes, practices. You know, what can they expect if they're going and saying, I am interested in buying this book. What am I getting myself into?
Right. I love the question. So the book is broken up into three areas. So the first area is, why don't I have joy? Why don't I experience joy? Why don't I have joy in my life? Especially if I'm a believer, because the word said I should have joy. But if I'm honest, I got it. So we explore, why don't you have joy? Why we don't have joy? The second part of the book talks about, what is joy? What is joy? How do I find it? What is it defined as? How I can walk through it? And just to say, one of the chapters is basically what you were talking about just now with the suffering. There's a scripture verse that says, count it all joy when you go through trials and suffering, because of what it produces. And so we talk about that. We talk about how living, what it means to live in the tension of suffering and joy, and understanding what that suffering produces and why that suffering is necessary. So all about what you talked about just now. So exploring the different facets of what is joy. And the last section talks about, what does that practically look like to walk out joy? Because great, you told me why I don't have it. You told me what it is. But now, what does that actually look like for me in my life? What are some things that I need to be doing? What's the perspectives I need to be having? How do I need to change the way that I looked at joy? Because I don't know if anybody else, but for me, I thought joy lied in a certain destination. I thought, once this happened, this is something that I've always wanted from when I was a kid. And the minute I experienced that, then I will have joy. That's what I thought joy was, but it isn't.
It's so funny, because what I've been learning is joy is so much in the process, because you will get to a destination. It could be, you know, a director position in a big company. It could be, you know, the man or woman of your dreams. It could be the family. It could be all of these things. But a lot of times the joy is, so much of it is in the journey to get there. And if you don't enjoy the journey a lot of times, then you can't really enjoy and you can't find joy in the destination. Because if you're able to count all of those steps along the process, be like, you know, I can enjoy this now because I remember when X, Y, and Z. I remember when, you know, I was 2 months behind on rent. I remember when, you know, school fees were due and the school was calling and there was no money to pay the school fee. And all of those different things that people can say, I remember these moments, when that allows you to then experience the joy when you do get to that point where God has blessed you with, you know, whatever this world of your dreams that you've crafted in your head, and God says, okay, fine, I have that for you because you're my child and I love you. But yeah, it's that process along the way. You know, is there a signature, again, not without giving away, you know, but is there a signature framework or pathway to joy that the reader can follow? I think you kind of walked us through a little bit, but, you know, is there something where it's like you can go, you know, because we tend to be a very shorts and reels and can I get my 5 steps? But like, will people be able to say, these are my 5, you don't have to say the 5 steps, but these are my 5 steps once I've read the book.
Yes.
Okay.
There is, we talk about reprogramming your brain. So your brain forms pathways, and you can form new pathways in your brain. And so we talk about hijacking your brain and reprogramming your brain so that you can walk through joy. Now, the thing about reprogramming your brain and hijacking your brain and having new pathways is that we live in a very, we live in a natural world, but we live in a spiritual world. And what I would say, and I talk about it, I'll talk about it a lot in my talk at the book launch, and there's a little bit of it at the end of the book, but it's not, like you said, people want this 5 steps. They want this pill. They want this, I can just take this. Joy is very similar to going to the gym. If you went to the gym and you spent 4 or 5 months and you got down to your goal weight of 130, 140, 150, whatever the goal weight was, and you ate clean and you did what you have to do to get to 150, if you stop every single thing you did and go back to...
Scale just goes up, 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 up. I wish we were on video. Scale just goes up, 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 up.
So that is how joy is.
Yeah, that's a really good answer. You know, a lot of times people sit down and they write a book, and as they're writing, there's a particular person or type of person that they have in mind. You know, do you have a primary reader in mind? And then is there some surprising, like, secondary audience that you think this book will also appeal to, or that you wanted to appeal to?
There's definitely a primary reader, and also a surprising secondary reader. So if you are listening and this, you fall in this category, you are a man or woman, because both of my previous books were not unisex. But if you, and we've tested it because some of the people who wrote chapters were men, and they were like, one of the guys, he kept saying, I related to it so much. So if you are a man or a woman, the primary audience, and for those who may not be in marketing, when I say primary audience, even if you don't fall in this category, it does not mean that you would not enjoy the book.
Right.
I'm just saying that I know Alexis knows what I mean when I say primary audience, mm-hmm. because there's a target audience. So this means this is going to hit you right on the bullseye. Yeah. This is me.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't fall into this category, you can still read it and definitely enjoy it. Yeah. But if you fall in this category, this is going to hit you on the bullseye. This mm-hmm. is me. You're a man, a woman of faith.
Mm-hmm.
You're a believer. And you have been doing the things, whether it's I go to church weekly, I'm involved in small group, I serve in this ministry, I do what I have to do. I follow the teachings of the Lord, and I've been following the teachings of the Lord. However, if I am honest, I don't always feel joy. And there's a lot of times when I don't feel joy. There's a lot of times where I'm yearning for something in my life, and I thought that the Lord would have given it to me. You've struggled with pride, you've struggled with legalism, you've struggled with independence, you've struggled with self-reliance, you've struggled with different things. You may be also very intelligent, a leader, someone who's often praised for a lot of things that you do, but you're really inside emotionally drained and your soul is weary. That's the target.
Okay. And the second group?
The mm-hmm. second group is you may not be a believer at all. You may not be someone who has done all of the spiritual things and wondering what's going on, but you are a high achiever. You are a leader. You are doing the things you need to cope. You are feeling like I'm a good person and I've done a lot right, but I still inwardly feel weary and downtrodden. And this is a call to evangelism. This is a call to understand that that is found in Christ. And so both of them are realizing, one feels like I'm walking with Christ, but I'm not getting that joy. What am I missing? One is not walking with Christ, and I don't have joy. So what you're missing is in Christ. But when you come to Christ, you're going to learn what us who have been spiritually doing the things but not tapping into that joy have been missing. So those are the two audiences.
Always love when there's an evangelism tool to it. That's great. So you talked about this a little bit earlier. You have a podcast now under the same name of Hello Joy. I think the first episode was with Dr. Gia
Jones,
who I also know from ET back in the day, another longtime friend. But your first episode talked about the war for your soul. How does the book address emotional and spiritual health within that battle?
So the whole book really taps on the emotional, psychological state of a human and the spiritual aspect, because they both go hand in hand. You know, the Perry's Jackie Hill and her husband say Jesus in therapy. You need both. You need the spiritual aspect to understand that this is a spiritual thing. The enemy is real. The enemy is after you, and the enemy is attacking you. And you need to understand that it's not a fictitious thing. It's real. The enemy is after you. And then you have to, the emotional side is having an awareness of how he has attacked you. Having an awareness of what that did to your emotions. So your soul is made up of your mind, your will, and your emotions. And so a lot of times we think, oh, I'm a believer, so my soul thinks the way that my spirit does. Not if you do not tend to it. And so a lot of things that believers do is they, what is the word? Spiritual bypass. So I love the Lord and I serve him every day. And I don't want to tell him that I feel like it's unfair that I'm 40 and I'm still single. And that makes me depressed and that makes me lonely. I don't want to say that because a good Christian doesn't say that. Or because other Christians said, the minute I didn't want it, that's when it came. So I have to pretend I don't want it so it don't come. So it can come. You see what I mean? All of these like rules and regulations and steps instead of authenticity, honesty, and being real. So when you go to those moments and you've had those times with the Lord, I'll tell a quick story. So there was this job. No, it wasn't a job. There was this grant that was being given out, a tech grant. And at the time I was teaching different persons. I was being hired by organizations to teach people who were getting a grant how to set up their business so that once they got this money, they would be able to excel well with the money and not just get money and just it goes away in 2 seconds, like if you won the lottery. And so I approached them and they said, no, we already have have someone who's doing this training session once we give out the money. So I said, hey, I'll apply for the money. So in the process, I had a client who was offering different tech things. So I said, you know what? I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to do a free workshop where I highlight you and help them and show them how they can prepare. So I do this free workshop. People who are applying for the grant come to the workshop and they go and apply and I apply as well. People who were in my free workshop get the grant and I don't get the grant. I'm like, I host a whole free workshop and people who are in the workshop actually get the grant and I don't get the grant. What in the world is this? And so I was pissed out of my mind that I didn't get the grant and I wanted the grant. And so I go on the beach that day and I vent to the Lord. And I was like, why didn't you give it to me? And how did people I train get the grant? Like, how I could tell you what to do to put on your application and you get it and I didn't get it? I probably should call them and ask them if this was a mistake. You already got the email. It said you were not granted the application. And the Lord just basically told me, you're being very prideful right now. This is pride that is coming up in you. And I decide who does what and what happens with who. And so I'm going to need you to humble yourself and realize that that was not meant for you. And so I humbled myself. I released it. I repented. And he was trying to show me that there is pride in you and I need to work that out of your character before I elevate you to the things that I need to do. You know, Priscilla Shira says, don't beg for the light. And that means don't beg to move to the next level of wherever you're trying to go without making sure your character is intact. Because the last thing you want to do is get to a level where that light is on you and your character cannot sustain you. Because she said, if you do not have the character for where the Lord is taking you, that light will burn you to a crisp. And so getting pride out of me and identifying that there was pride in me and that anything you have, any knowledge you have, anything you achieve is because of me, that was something the Lord needed me to know. So I repented, I surrendered, I saw where the pride was. And 2 days later, the organization calls me and they said, we want you to train the people who got the grant, whoever they, I guess, were going with before, and they saw my free training. They felt like I would be perfect for the job. So the... whatever the amount is that everybody got as an amount, okay? I got 4 times that to train them. So you complaining for this, and the Lord's like, I'm trying to give you this, but you got to realize that I gave you it, and right. It wasn't because of you or your intellect. But that's
the thing, too, though. Like, there's a biblical principle there as well. Like, you gave something of yourself, your time, your energy, your effort for free, right? And there's... whether it's in the short term or the long term, the principle is that there's a reward for that, right? Because it's just like tithing, right? You give of something, and sometimes it may not be the easiest thing to do, but you do it, and there's people who are not people of faith who follow that principle alone, just the principle of tithing, are blessed. And so it essentially is that's what that was. You gave something that was of value to people for free, and you didn't get what you thought was best for you. Right? And God had to kind of, and then you turn around and then you got something that was even better. And so it's amazing how God will do that. But that's a core biblical principle, right? You give of yourself expecting nothing in return, and then God works out the blessing, right?
Yes, he does.
You know, another thing that I've seen mentioned as a part of your tagline as you're discussing is moving from booked and busy to wealthy and wise. Now, I will tell you, that booked and busy and I'm so busy and it's just a busy season, and that is something that a lot of people struggle with, especially when you work in a corporate space and you feel like you're chasing that climb of the corporate ladder and all of these different things. But what does that shift look like in real life? And how does joy reframe ambition, finances, your approach to rest, you know, as you kind of make that shift?
Listen, when people say, oh, you're so busy now, I hate that word. and I have it in the book because someone gave an acronym. So BUSY, an acronym for busy, is being under Satan's yoke.
Yikes.
And so a lot of times when we're busy, you know, the word of God says be sober because your enemy, he prowls around like a roaring lion. He's seeking who he can devour and destroy. Be sober-minded. Be alert. And you can't be sober and alert if I'm busy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm distracted. True. And that's what the enemy wants. He wants to distract you. He wants to move you from having traction and movement in the spirit. So I will distract you and mm-hmm. I'll keep you busy. So I don't like being busy. Also, what I talked about too, in terms of you want to be seen as, well-desired and independent, and everybody's going after me, and I'm so known. That was a term that people loved before. I'm booked and busy. Like mm-hmm. everybody wants mm-hmm. me. Everybody's trying to gather me for my time. But am I being intentional about where God is telling me to go, or am I trying to impress the masses?
Yeah.
And I think that's what happens a lot. Why we don't experience joy is because we are trying to please the masses or mm-hmm. do things that on the outward appearance look as if I'm being successful, look as if I am winning at life. And because we want to do that, as those are coping mechanisms to hide the fact that you're in pain. Coping mechanisms because you don't know how to find that joy in Christ. So I'm trying to get a bit of it from people praising me because I'm booked and busy.
That's why. Keep going.
Being wealthy and wise is, wealth is not always attached to a monetary amount. Health is wealth. So even prioritizing your health and resting. I was at a conference the other day and the lady said, how many people in here get 8 hours of sleep? Well, it was in a lot of, it was like 4 or 5 of them, right? Mm-hmm. And so she said, please stand. And she said, I want to introduce you to the most healthiest people in the room. And I remember being like, what? Like, I'm thinking it's all these other things. Like, do you work out every day? Do you eat healthy? Do you think? I mean, she was like, yes, those are measures of health. But the most significant measurement of health is rest. And so if you do not have 8 hours of rest, you're not the most healthiest person here. And I was like, because I get about 5 or 6 and I don't even have kids.
Right.
And so it just was like a wake-up call to me even more so. And a few years ago is when I started, you know, honoring the Sabbath and keeping the Sabbath holy. And we talk about the Sabbath in the book as well, and why the Sabbath was created and why it's so important. And so therefore, wealthy and wise means that my steps are being ordered by the Lord, that I'm being intentional versus trying to be seen. And if I follow my life by the word of God, the word of God says, meditate on the word of God day and night, and you will be successful in everything that you do. So therefore, my success does not come from being booked and busy. It does not come from a dollar amount. It comes from the fact that I cherish that intimacy with the Father.
I hope you're enjoying this episode of Vital Voices. We're going to take a quick break for some words from our sponsors, and we'll be right back.
Ladies, at Oak Tree Medical Center, your health is our priority. From early detection to advanced treatment options, our comprehensive breast care services are here to support you every step of the way. With locations at East Street South, Prince Charles Drive, and our state-of-the-art surgical suites and MRI at Top of the Hill Mackey Street, we're right where you need us. Because when it comes to your breast care, you deserve the best care. And remember, the Million Mammogram Movement continues. Call us today at 242-321-145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com to learn more. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring. Compassionate. Complete.
Gentlemen, it's time to take charge of your health with Oak Tree Medical Center. We provide comprehensive prostate care at affordable prices, from prostate-specific antigen tests to prostate ultrasounds to advanced prostate MRIs. We've got you covered. Need further evaluation or treatment? Oak Tree Surgical Suites offers biopsies and in-house surgery. Our team of experts is here for you every step of the way. Visit us at Oak Tree Medical Center on East Street South and Prince Charles Drive, or for surgical procedures, find us at Oak Tree Surgical Suites, Top of the Hill, Mackey Street. Call us today at 322-1145 or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Medical Center. Caring, compassionate, complete.
Discover the ultimate in personalized health care with the Oak Tree Primary Plus program. Enjoy comprehensive primary care, annual physicals, lab and imaging discounts, mental health screenings, and more, all tailored to meet your needs. With flexible payment options, exceptional care has never been more accessible. Join today and take control of your health journey. Call 242-8164-OPP, 4667, or visit oaktreemedicalcenter.com. Oak Tree Primary Plus, where your health comes first.
Welcome back to Vital Voices. Let's continue our conversation.
So one of the things that I learned is that when we're following the Lord, it is the narrow way. So it's going to look different and crazy to everyone else. Mm-hmm. And I told you about the spark of this journey, which started in 2022 when I had to move and left the sorority. And so there were a lot of people who were like, what are you doing? Why would you do this? This doesn't make any sense. Everybody like, why did she move to Nassau? Did she get a job? No. Is she dating someone over there and it's serious? No. So why did she move? And I remember being out and somebody was asking me and I felt so insecure because I was like, they're going to think I'm a crazy person because I'm going to say, I only move because this is what the Lord told me to do. I'm going to feel like I'm going to look like I'm crazy. But I realize that when the Lord tells you to do something, everybody won't get it. Right. But you have to hold that confidence that this is what he's told me to do. And speaking about Acadia, so we have someone who went to Acadia with us, and he was doing really well in accounting. Most people who go to Acadia who did accounting do really well. And he had left the accounting firm and he was going to start a business. And at that time, entrepreneurship wasn't cool. Like, you know, in recent years it became cool, but it wasn't cool at that time. And I remember looking at him like, what? And when he told me what he was going to sell, it just sounded so silly. It was just like, he's lost his mind. I literally was like telling people, he's lost his mind. Like, he's just going to go and open a business and sell. He's lost his mind. He didn't lose his mind. So what he was telling me he was initially selling did sound random. But basically what he was doing in the beginning was market research. He was doing these different random, so per se, products to see what would move. And once he was able to see what moved, he narrowed the business down and you know, coined the business to a very well-known business. And for years, he supported my plays by either being a box office or sponsoring us funds and stuff. And so I had to go eat humble pie and go back and be sponsored and supported in my endeavors that may have seemed crazy to people, because he didn't listen to people, because I'm sure other people in his life must have been, you're leaving the secure accounting firm to do this. Why would you do this? And in the beginning, it seemed as if this didn't make sense. And then years later, you can see the harvest of he was walking in obedience. You did not need to understand, because that was the message the Lord gave him.
Yeah. I think that's the other thing too, is like, you know, people's journey, especially when they're on the journey that God has them on, it's theirs, right? And if you're a fellow believer and you see somebody on a journey you don't understand, just pray that they are actually hearing from God and walking according to his purpose, and pray that God blesses them for being obedient. Like that's it. Everything else could kind of sit to the wayside. That is what you do in those moments. And I realize, like, now I know that if I see someone who I know is a believer and they go, I'm like, you know what? I'm on a path that a lot of people say that's going to say is crazy. So I have to sit down and be like, I'm going to pray that they're hearing from God and that God blesses them for being obedient, because that is the only way to approach that now. Because I pray that that's what other people are doing for me, right? Because this is the journey that you're on. It's an amazing thing. You know, I think one of the things that I've seen just in kind of, you know, at a distance following you, we're friends on Facebook. So kind of seeing some of your movements over the past few years, is you have done a great job, from my eyes at least, at maintaining a community, right? There always seems to be that there's a community that you're a part of, or there are people that are part of your community, right? Where does that fit? And how do we protect joy when we start to filter that through relationships, through work, through our calling? How does that look?
So I think being very intentional, and we talk about community in the book as well, I think it's important to be intentional about being surrounded by like-minded people. Mm. And I think that I've been able to garner community because it's back to one of the things you talked about earlier about the principle of giving. So when people say like, oh, you got a lot of people at your event, I think it's because there are a lot of times when the Lord has me give into people free, whether it's doing prayer live for the last 6 years, whether it's the ministry that I co-lead with my accountability partner that we've been doing for 2 years, where we do prayer time on Mondays, or when someone asks me to speak, and I know that you also have a growing ministry, so I'm just doing it for free. I think those are the moments of giving and surrounding yourself with like-minded community. And that's the wider community. When I talk about your inner circle, your core inner circle, one of the things that the Lord had to do with me is help me to realize, because you get in those seasons where you kind of grow and different people are not growing at the same rate. So do I become super legalistic and be like, Jesus, you don't love Jesus the way that I do, you gotta go. Or I asked the Lord how to steward this relationship. And so what it means is that there were some relationships that got repositioned because I'm not cutting you out in my life.
Right.
But I do need, if someone's going to have a close ear to me, someone who's also hearing from the Lord and can pour into me in that way. Right. And so those were things I had to reassess, but also still keeping that communication with you, because you do bring value, and me being in your life does help you to grow. And there are things that you tell me that are also going to help me to grow. sorrow or also to have more grace and mercy. And so I think there is important to look at if you are someone where God has called you to the marketplace or to a public forefront of how am I sowing to the wider community? So that when it is time for me to look for people to sow back into me, it's not as hard. And then when it comes to your inner community, the people you actually do day-to-day life with, also auditing that circle of how are you thinking? And again, it doesn't mean that I have to cut people off. It just means that you may need to have boundaries about how much access you have to me and how much information you have about me.
Mm, that's good. That's really good. You know, you mentioned sowing seeds there, and I've seen a lot of, you know, the conversation around the book launch has been about sowing seeds and reaping harvest. What seeds of joy do readers need to, readers of the book, listeners to this show, need to plant now? And how do you tend to your seeds of joy that you're planting as they grow?
So I love we talk about it in the book, seed time and harvest. And so I think if the best way to start sowing seeds, to have seeds of joy and to be able to see it, is spending that morning time with the Lord and getting in His word. And that may sound simple or cliche, but literally, as I said, the verse, meditate on the word of the Lord day and night, and you will be successful in everything that you do. I think that without knowing it, we meditate on a lot of other things. And so even me, I have to, like, if I find like, oh, I'm not doing well, I remember I was talking to this cohort group that I'm in, and I was saying, you know, in some areas I can hear God very clearly, but there are some areas where I'm not sure if it's God, I'm not sure it's me, I'm dealing with fear, I'm dealing with unbelief, I'm dealing with anxiety. And they said, that means that when it comes to that, you've taken your eyes off the Lord and you've placed it on whatever it is that you're thinking about.
And it's an easy enough trap to fall into, you know.
Yeah, so I would say making it a point to start the day with the Lord and trying to, throughout your day, meditate on what is that scripture. And then also a key, we talk about it in the book, but just, you know, a key for listeners while they're listening. One of the things we tend to do when we read the word of God is we look for ourselves. So we'll read a story about Job, and then we're like, oh, I gone through a Job season. I just like Job. You know, they're trying to do it.
Sometimes use Job friends.
Okay, you're right, use Job friends. Oh, they trying to take my job, and then I get through that. And you going through half of what Job been through, but I in a Job season. So we read scripture and we look for ourselves versus reading scripture and looking for the Lord. So when you read the passage of Job, what you realize about the Lord is one of the points that we gave earlier. You can go through suffering and affliction and it not be punishment. Right. You go through suffering and affliction because there's a purpose that God is working in that moment, and there's something that God was going to reveal, something that God wants to say to you, but it's not a punishment. Job was not being punished for anything. Job, the Bible said Job was a righteous man, so he wasn't being punished. Was Job perfect? No, we're human, so none of us are perfect. And so all of us have something that we can be refined by. And so at the end, the Lord showed him that he had pride, but that was not why he was, it wasn't because of the pride why he went through the suffering, but it was just the Lord pointing out that at the end of the day, I'm the Lord God. There's nothing that I can do that's not good. I made everything and you're not here. And as a human, there are still human aspects of you. And so as a human, we should also bow. And so, looking at Job's story, and I look at it to see God, then I realize that God doesn't always take me through suffering to punish me. Sometimes we just go through suffering because God is sovereign. We just go through suffering because there's something that God is working on the other end. We're just going through suffering because God is in charge, and I'm going to trust that in the end, even if I don't understand it, because sometimes people go through like losing a loved one who's sick and they don't understand it then, I trust the person who's in charge of my life.
Yeah. So there's three things there. One, it goes back to that conversation, a part of what you said earlier, which is, you know, if God is preparing to take you to a higher place, that refinement is to make sure that your character can withstand where He's taking you to, right? Two, as you were talking, the phrase came back to my mind, you know, for your good, but for His glory. Right. And so you go through something and it may seem incredibly difficult. It might even seem unfair. But at the end of the day, if you are walking according to God's plan and purpose and His will, it's for your good, but for His glory. Yeah. And sometimes you might think it's for your bad, but ultimately it is for your good. But it's for His glory. And that's the main thing. Right. You can't lose sight of that. And then the third thing is another thing that came to my mind as you were speaking, when you were talking about just the simplicity of doing quiet time, right? Your personal prayer and devotion time with God. It sounds simple, but the Bible tells us that God uses the simple to confound the wise. And so it makes sense because this, it's, again, it goes back to, this is a biblical principle, right? He wants us to spend time with him in his face, in his word. And so therefore you do that, then, you know, you go to, it's a scripture that we have as a part of our family core values, which is seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. And it's like, yeah, seek ye first. Start there. Start there. Every day, start. That's where you start, right? And so that would be the three things that I talk on to what you had to say there. So as we look to wrap up, what would you say are three practices that a listener can try this week to say hello to joy in preparation for getting the book and getting all of the good details and all of the meat there? But what are three practical things that people can start even from now to say, I'm cultivating joy, getting ready to say hello to it as I get ready to purchase your book, come to the event and all that good stuff?
Okay. So one of the things I would say is audit their life. That's the first one. Audit your life. Like, where's your time going? Where's your time spending? Is it gossiping on the phone with friends? Is it scrolling for 3-4 hours on social media? Is it, you know, binging on Netflix all day? The reason why you need to audit your life is because a lot of what we allow into our eye gates and our ear gates either consistently pushes down a path where we're not going to get joy because it's pushing us away further from Christ, or we're doing things that, you know, are helping us to see Christ more. Another thing is to get, and it may be in a journal, because sometimes you need to be honest with yourself before you're honest with others, but in the morning's time, just really journaling out, how do I really feel and why do I feel this way? Like, getting all of those emotions of what's going on with me out of here, my heart, and putting it on paper. Because sometimes it's too hard to say to someone else. Sometimes it feels too hard to say to the Lord, but a lot of times it's buried in there. And until you just have that outright of, I'm being honest, I'm upset, I'm frustrated, I feel like this is unfair, I feel like this shouldn't be happening. So having that honest time and putting it in a journal. And the last thing that I would say practically they can do to get ready for Hello Joy is to the morning time that I said with the Lord, spending that time with the Lord. But I definitely want to encourage people to come out on November 15th to Bahamas Harvest. And they could go to, you know, my social media pages, Karel Razil on Instagram or Karel Pinder on Facebook. And the link is there to get the tickets. Because like I said, it's not just the book launch. It's a movement. It's the start. It's the spark of, I didn't see joy in this way. I did not realize that joy was there all along, and I thought I had to get to a particular destination in order to experience it.
Awesome. One more thing before we get into the rest of just the details about the launch. What would you say is a common joy blocker that you see and one exercise to dismantle it?
So a common joy blocker is comparison. Comparison is a thief of joy is a phrase that we often hear. So comparison, and that's either comparing yourself to other people or comparing yourself to society's timelines of what I should be doing or where I thought I should be or how something should look, how long something should take. I think that's the biggest steal of joy, because we are unique beings. And if we allow looking at Alexis' life and saying, my life looks nothing like Alexis, I wasn't supposed to look like you. I always tell people, the cupbearer was imprisoned for 2 days and Joseph was imprisoned for 3 years. I think it's about 3 years. Bible scholars correct me if I'm wrong. But they had different assignments. Yeah. It wasn't that cupbearer was better or cupbearer was winning and Joseph was failing. They had different assignments. Yeah. Joseph's assignment was, when he got out there, was to feed a people who would go through 7 years of harvest and 7 years of famine. And so the preparation of what you need in order to fill that assignment is different than what you need to be a cupbearer. And so when it looks like someone's winning or someone has these opportunities, another thing the Lord just gave me on my drive here, please allow me to say this. We are from the body of Christ. And so the body of Christ, the metaphor, and everything on earth is a metaphor for the spiritual realm. And so the metaphor for the body of Christ is the actual physical body. And so we're all like the body. So when you think about the body, there's fingernails, there's fingers, there's hands, there's two hands. So you're like, well, these people are married and I'm not married. Maybe you're something in the body where you don't have the second, you don't have the other part, you know? Same thing. There's all people who are like, oh, they're always on the spotlight. They're always being seen. They have this public arena. Well, there are parts of the body that are just important or just as function. And if you lose it, it'll thing them, but you can't see them. You can't ever see those parts of the body unless you're doing an x-ray. And so it's just remembering that every part of the body has a function. And so if the stomach tries to act like the hand, if the foot wants to act like the ear, if the nose wants to act like the eyes, it's not going to function right because that's not the purpose and that's not what you're called to do. You're called to be the nose and the smell. And we need that smell. Smelling, so don't try to be the eye.
The ACL is very important. You don't see it, but you take that ACL and you'll know. You will know. And shout out, this is actually so funny. So this episode is going to air in a few weeks from when we're recording it. But as of today, our pastor at Evangelistic Temple gave a sermon on this very topic this past week, Sunday. So if you're interested in jumping off of the point that Corral just gave us, you can go to Evangelistic Temple's YouTube page and watch the October 10th, 11th, 12th, whichever day that was, sermon from Pastor Keno Smith. It's on that exact topic, and it's amazing. It dives fully into that same topic that you were just getting into. So quickly, give us the details on the Hello Joy experience. What can people expect? You gave us the tickets, but just run us back through all that information very quickly so people can get it on their way out of the show.
So Hello Joy is going to be amazing on November 15th. It's held at Bahamas Harvest West. We have Harrison Thompson, the relationship therapist. He is going to be on the males panel. We're having a male panel on healing. Ezekiel, he's a famous podcaster. We need to talk. He's a man of faith and goes into very deep topics around faith. So he'll be leading that panel. We have two other men who'll be joining that panel. Brenda Palmer will be the first speaker. So she'll open it up. She's from a church in One LA. We also share similar stories of her leaving her sorority. Of course, hers went a little more viral because she's more publicly known. And I am Thea. She's a social media maven, and she's going to just, with her energy and just a vibrancy, going to really take away and make sure lead us through the whole event. And then I will give a keynote at the end and we'll have question and answer. There are three different tier offers. If you just want to experience them and experience the event and then think about getting the book, you can do the admission only. But the best option is the book package, because I get the reading book, I get the devotional book, I get to experience everything I'm going to experience that night, and then there's VIP. So if those who love VIP, it comes with their own VIP entrance, the VIP seating, it comes with photo ops with the celebrities that are going to be there, it comes with a swag bag, it comes with your book, it comes with your devotional, it comes with a complimentary drink. Like, VIP is like really top tier. But you know, as for the bouge who loves it, I think the sweet deal is getting that book, package. Because I get two books. And even if you're like, oh, I don't do devotionals, now you got a Christmas gift you can give someone. Like, that's the real sweet spot right now.
It's a good way to sell it. All right, so one last thing before I let you go, finish this sentence. When you pick up Hello Joy, you will ...
You will have a roadmap. When you pick up Hello Joy, you will have a roadmap to experiencing joy in Christ.
Thank you so much, Corral Pinder, for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us today on Vital Voices. Awesome conversation. We are all looking forward to the event again Saturday, November 15th at Bahamas Harvest West. You can follow Corral on social media, on YouTube at Corral Razil, Corral Pinder on Facebook for all of the additional information. Thank you again so much for taking time out of your schedule to talk about this. And we look forward to seeing everybody at the Hello or Joy event on Saturday, November 15th.
Thank you. I enjoyed it. Thank you so much, Alexis. I appreciate it.
So, Corral, thank you for reminding us that joy is a practice and an invitation we answer every day. For our listeners, you can follow Corral's Hello Joy journey and support the launch by checking out her socials and sharing this episode with a friend who needs encouragement. If you enjoyed today's conversation, follow and subscribe to Vital Voices on YouTube and wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm Alexis Burrows. Thanks for listening. And until next time, stay informed, stay connected, stay well, and stay tuned for the next Vital Voice.
Did you miss a part of today's show? You can catch this episode and all Vital Voices episodes online at youtube.com/@VitalVoices242. See you next week as we sit down with another Vital Voice.
We'd like to thank today's sponsors, Oak Tree Medical Center and Wellspring Lifestyle Group.
Vital Voices.